We always love when we get a segment with Dr. Cooper, a political commentator across the great state of North Carolina, as well as on the national scene. Dr. Cooper, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and that sounds like a great show. I'm going to have to figure out how to tune in later on to hear a couple of the Council of State folks talking.
Yeah, we're excited about that, and I know you've you just did a nice piece in the News and Observer looking at these Council of State races and something that you called the Harris effect, I've noticed on your Twitter. So let's talk a little bit about kind of coming out of the DNC. You know, we can continue to see this really stark difference. Tonight, Donald Trump is going to have a town hall hosted by Sean Hannity. This will be his 35th live interview taking questions. Kamala Harris has one kind of a recorded interview that she did with CNN with her running mate. It's interesting to watch kind of we definitely saw a kick coming out of the RNC, a kick coming out of the DNC. You see that the polls have tightened since the Kamala coronation. There's no doubt about that. But it's interesting to see this approach that she's taking, Dr. Cooper, with the things that she's going to do. This is what I'm going to do, Day One. I'm going to make a commercial that I keep seeing run. I'm going to make groceries more affordable. We're going to bring down the cost of prescription medication, et cetera, et cetera. Has anyone told Kamala Harris that she actually is the incumbent, that Donald Trump isn't? Because she's surely running like the outsider when her office is just a few feet from the Oval Office.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, we've never really seen an election like this, at least in our lifetimes, right, where we have somebody who has served in the presidency, obviously Donald Trump. We have somebody who's been vice president. So both of them, I think, can make a legitimate claim to acting like an incumbent. Each one of them is going to try to hit on the, you know, sort of the record of the previous administration. In Harris's case, obviously, the previous Trump administration. Trump's case, the Biden-Harris ticket. And so I'm really curious to see how voters are going to sort this out. I don't really have a good sense of whether people hold the vice president responsible for the decisions of the president. They probably do, especially since Biden's obviously nowhere to be found on the ticket and arguably nowhere to be found, period. But yeah, it's a fascinating strategy that she has, and I think Trump's response to it's been fascinating as well.
It is. I mean, it really is uncharted water. We've been talking about this so much, really, since the coup to push Joe Biden out happened post that disastrous debate. But just a couple weeks before that, you and I were discussing the fact that the Democrats were trying to get Kamala off of the ticket because her approval ratings at that point were at 28%. They were below Joe Biden's. Then the debate happens. It becomes very evident to the Democrats, the mainstream media, et cetera. I mean, just the push was full on get Joe off of the ticket. And then, you know, you had Representative Clyburn down in South Carolina, very good friend of Joe Biden's, positioning for this brokered convention. And, you know, then on a Sunday afternoon, you and I were just, you know, probably enjoying an afternoon in the mountains and maybe an adult beverage. And the next thing we know, Joe's off. And 30 seconds later on Twitter, he puts his full endorsement behind Kamala Harris and all things change. So it has just been amazing to watch all of these events unfold. Don't forget, in the midst of this, we have Donald Trump, an attempted assassination. He gets shot. It's just been like nothing that we've ever seen before. But poll upon poll continues to show in battleground states, just like the great state of North Carolina, things are really tight. This is going to be a race won in the margins in 5 to 7 key swing states. And we may only get one debate between these two candidates, and that would be the debate next week.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's all – you're normally we're used to saying debates don't matter that much. They just reinforce opinions. But we're still learning – when I say we, I mean Americans, voters are still learning about Kamala Harris, who she is, how she's going to act. So I think this debate – will take on outsized importance, much more importance than we're used to. And I think you had referenced at the top, sort of this idea of the Harris effect. And so what I'm trying to get at there is to figure out, look, the Democrats are more enthused than they've ever been. There's no than they've been in the last few years. There's no question about that, right? The question is whether they can translate that enthusiasm into something that's actually useful in politics, right? You don't get two votes if you're super pumped to cast it. So what would we look at? We look at fundraising. She's definitely done well there. We look at polls. I think you just ran down very well what's happening there. And then this Harris effect I've been looking at is in terms of new voter registration. So for the last, you know, decade or so, really, in North Carolina politics, every week it seems like that Republicans register more new voters than the Democrats. Of course, unaffiliated more than both, but still, Republicans more than Democrats. Since the big switch, we've seen a reversal of that. We've seen the Democrats recruit slightly more new voters than Republicans. I don't think it's enough to make a difference, but I think it is one sign that maybe this is more than just enthusiasm that's going to fade. There's actually something actionable that's coming out of the Democrats right now.
It's interesting. And then of course, we've got to talk about this. We'd be remiss if we didn't discuss the impact of the Robert Kennedy endorsement and what kind of uptick that is going to have for Trump and continues to have, how that plays out in key swing states. Not too far from where you live and where I spend much of my time, Robert Kennedy Jr. had one of his first, if not his first, rally when the Democrats wouldn't really allow him to run in their primary in Asheville, and it was very well attended. So you have some communities in key battleground states where that Robert Kennedy endorsement, those people, the Kennedy supporters were never going to vote for Kamala Harris if he drops out. But how many of them show up and vote for Donald Trump? How does it impact the down ballot races, which her candidate, you know, you're seeing a big push from her campaign that they're investing down ballot, Senate congressional races, Council of State. So when you look at Team Trump now, you've got Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard. There's a funny picture making its way around Twitter right now. Walls, I think is how I would properly say it. Walls is for Trump. And this is vice presidential nominee on the Democrat side, Tim Walz's family in Nebraska that put out an official picture. They all had these specialized shirts made showing their support for Donald Trump. Then, of course, on the Republican side, you have Mike Pence, who came out and said, you know, he's not going to support Donald Trump. I don't know that that makes a hill of beans of difference. But, I mean, you got a Kennedy on Team Trump now. You've got Tulsi Gabbard, who is a very strong surrogate for Trump. I would put her right up there. Many wanted her as the VP selection. So you've got some interesting alliances that are forming. And do those alliances hit the right demographic of voter in the right state to make the right difference? Because we know what Iowa is going to do, just like we know what California is going to do. But the questions are always around Pennsylvania and Michigan and North Carolina and Georgia. So it's fascinating to watch.
It is. And you add, you know, obviously Wisconsin, Nevada, and then also look at Nebraska. And that sounds strange, right? But we have this Nebraska and Maine, you know, well, Michelle, but the only two states that don't give all of their electoral college votes to the same candidate. And so there are some legitimate scenarios that end with this thing being decided ultimately by the congressional district around Omaha in Nebraska. So we got to add Nebraska, not as a swing state, but as a swing district within that state.
Well, and watching where each of the candidacies and campaigns are going, you know, when Joe Biden was still at the top of the ticket, we were having discussions about, is New Hampshire on the table? Is Virginia on the table? Are there some states where Democrats should be a shoo-in? Are those on the table? But Kamala Harris, they're campaigning in New Hampshire. So is it still on the table, or do you think that is one that's locked up for Democrats based on the change in the top of the ticket?
I think it's pretty locked up. I mean, she's still spending the vast majority of her time, as is Trump, in the battleground states, in the purple states, in the swing states, whatever you want to call it. And that doesn't mean that they never go to a state that they're going to win. So I still think New Hampshire is probably back in the blue camp. I think the big switch from Biden to Harris really reinforced that, that it's just really not in play. And I think this is seven states and one congressional district is going to decide the outcome of this election. And North Carolina is very clearly one of those seven. And we've got this gubernatorial, you know, we've got the RFK Jr. thing, which certainly you talked about very well and how much that might matter. And then we have this fascinating gubernatorial race at the top of the state part of the ticket. And it looks like, just like the polls are showing, tightening for the presidency. It's actually showing Stein's lead really growing against Robinson. Doesn't mean that he's a shoo-in by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that race is also starting to look a little bit different than it did just a, really a couple of months ago.
It is, and I know you've got a hard stop. Let's wrap up on that if we could. It was many headlines over the course of the Labor Day weekend when most kind of us, even in the political space, are thinking it's going to be pretty quiet. Of course it isn't, but now we're in full force, really starting yesterday. But quite a few headlines over the weekend calling into question, does Mark Robinson impact Trump's ability to win North Carolina? What is the impact above Mark Robinson on the ballot? What is the impact below Mark Robinson on the ballot as we look at these polls and, to your point, look at a growing delta in the polls between Stein and Robinson? And to your point earlier, if you're super enthused, you don't get two votes. Polls don't decide who wins. Ask Hillary Clinton. But they do start to reveal some things, and it gives us good stuff to talk about between now and Election Day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at this, to me, the most telling Stein-Robinson stat was from this Elon poll. And so if you just look at independent voters in the state, self-identified independent voters, the unfavorable number for Robinson, 58%. For Stein, 27. Stein's unfavorables among independents, these small number of swing voters, half of Robinson. Tough to win an election in the state of North Carolina if 58% of independents aren't real sure about you.
It is. And neither of them, you know, we see it in that poll and others, neither of them have incredibly high name recognition, right? They're neither, interesting, both have won statewide races, but they don't have a really high name recognition. But I think you're seeing the impact of the child care ad. You're seeing the impact of some of the advertising. Today I saw an ad that ran, the Republican Governors Association is making a big investment in the state of North Carolina, tying Kamala Harris and Josh Stein. I expect the Democrat Governors Association to be doing the same thing. Will the Republican Attorney General's Association and the Democrat Attorney General's Association start to battle with the Jackson Bishop race and expand kind of their messaging outside of those candidates? I think we're going to watch North Carolina, I believe, it's going to be great for us. We're going to love it, right? But it's going to be a microcosm, I think, of what is happening as you try to do some connecting of Josh Stein making complimentary remarks about Joe Biden and Donald Trump making complimentary remarks about Mark Robinson. How do those two things play as you go into winning over those unaffiliated suburban women?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to ultimately be the key to this whole thing. And yeah, as you said a few minutes ago, too, how much this bleeds down the ballot, right? So how much this hurts a Dave Bullock running, how much this hurts a Hal Weatherman. By it, I mean the sort of poor numbers for Mark Robinson.
Yeah, it's, you know, and as we know, voting starts in 2 days here. It's unbelievable. Absentee ballots will be hitting mailboxes in the state of North Carolina in 2 days. We had top Trump pollster on with us yesterday, and we were talking about kind of this initiative with John McLaughlin around key swing states and these early voting mail-in ballots, early voting that's starting. And I think that is, again, kind of part of the Harris strategy. And I think it's a brilliant strategy, like get people voting early on, capture them while the hype and the feel is really good on the Democratic side, still riding that wave coming out of the DNC. And if you get people voting, you know, 60 days before Election Day, you've got that vote already in the bank, and you can be focusing your energies and your dollars somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is absolutely a smart strategy in North Carolina. Our ballots go out on Friday, and so there's some question. Ohio would say we're not really first in flight. There is no question that we are first in mail balloting. We are the ones who send out our ballots first. They're going out Friday. Not election season anymore. The actual election.
Yeah. And how much does this Board of Elections ruling of keeping RFK Jr. on the ballot here in North Carolina impact the race compared to states, key swing states where he's been taken off? It's interesting to watch. He'll be on the ballot here. He's on the ballot in Michigan. I believe Wisconsin, he ended up losing that legal battle to Stan, if I'm not not wrong there. So it's a huge ballot this year for voters, a very long, big ballot, lots to look at. And the very last thing on the ballot is protecting North Carolina elections from allowing illegal immigrants to vote. And, you know, you just wonder, we both see the numbers, the drop off. How many people are going to take the time to fill out this incredibly long ballot and then hit that big constitutional amendment that's at the bottom?
That's right. The last thing on the ballot, and it's the only constitutional amendment we have. So there have been years we've had 6-7 constitutional amendments on the same ballot. We got one this one. It's at the right at the end of the ballot, after dog catcher, after soil and water commissioner. You're going to find
Yeah, and don't forget in Haywood County, after tax collector. I think it's the only county that actually elects a tax collector. I would maybe put them above dog catcher. I'm not really sure where they fall in the schematic, but, you know, who knows? Dr. Chris Cooper, thank you so much. It's always such an honor. Love it. The conversations that we get to have about all things going on politically. While this is uncharted waters and you and I are seeing something that we've never seen in our lifetime in this presidential race, it does make for great radio. And I know for both of us, it's great conversation. I'm looking forward to joining you Thursday. I think we're going to get an opportunity to talk to one of your classes, and I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Thank you so much, Michelle. Appreciate your time, and always love these conversations.
Absolutely. Me too. Thank you so much. Again, Dr. Chris Cooper, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Western Carolina. Follow him on Twitter if you are not doing it. His Twitter page is absolutely fantastic. Not only does he hit on things political, but Dr. Cooper is a food junkie, a great, great lover of all music, and you will see incredible, insightful information on his Twitter page. Follow him at Chris Cooper WCU.